Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Wrapping up our discussion today on Catholic Connection's October 12th program. By the way, Steve Ray is going to be on with Father Mitch on November 1st on his live program to talk about his new book, Genesis, which is excellent. And there's been so much breaking news, we haven't had a chance to sit down with Steve and tape more interviews and do some more live interviews on his new book, but we will be doing that, God willing, in the very near future. Steve is known for his great conversion story and his book, Crossing the Tiber, and many other books. His website is CatholicConvert.com. He's also known for the amazing work he's done traveling over to Israel so many times, to the Holy Land and pilgrimages, I think over 200 times now. So, Steve, I know you've been monitoring this very closely. So you heard Father Mitch's interview. What is your take on the situation, having so many ties there? Thanks for joining us.
Well, yeah, my wife and I have been over 200 times to Israel, and I would just say I listened to your interview here with Father Mitch, and he was spot on. He's a brilliant guy, and I think that he just did an excellent job of laying out the whole background to what's going on there and the evil of what Hamas is doing. A lot of people are trying to justify it and make Israel out to be the bad guy, but I think that Father Mitch did an excellent job of giving the real perspective, and I just want to concur with everything he said. So, you know, we have been there a lot of times, and we just left 2 days before the roof blew off. We were very happy to. We were there for the whole month of September. We had three buses. So first we had one bus, and then they went home, and we got another two-bus group, and they went home, and we got back, and 2 days later everything blew up. So it was good because I know a lot of groups there now who are stuck, and the airlines are canceling their flights, and they're trying to get out through Jordan. I know that it's very difficult. We have 6 trips going to Israel in the next 8 months, so you can be sure I'm watching this very carefully. having all these trips, people registered and everything, and we're making big decisions now. And like Father Mitch said, I think it's going to take time, because we've gone through this cycle many times, Teresa, in our own situation over 20 years. We've actually been going 30 years, but 20 years leading groups. So we've gone through this cycle many times, but I think, like he had said earlier, that this is bigger than it's been in the past, and this is going to take more time. Because Hamas doesn't mind just slaughtering people, doesn't matter whether they're old, young, children, or whatever, but Israel tries to be discriminate. It could go in there and just blanket bomb the whole, Gaza's small, they could just wipe Gaza out, but they don't do that because Israel has a respect for humanity, and they try to do things in a proper way. So anyway, I think it's going to take some time, so we're hunkering down and making plans for our groups and what we're going to do.
So you have so much great background and insider knowledge, just like Father Mitch, because you've been there so many times and know so many people there. What are your friends there? For example, what is Amir Shaheda, with whom you work with on a regular basis and who's a Catholic in Nazareth? What's he saying about what's happening, his perspective from Nazareth?
Well, I'm not bothering him because I know how busy he is right now trying to arrange for groups that are coming and going and getting people out of there. But I know that I've been texting him, and he told me that even in Nazareth, where he lives, and that is in central Israel, so it's not near the north where Hezbollah is, nor the south where Hamas is, but he said even in Nazareth, the sirens are going off, and he's hearing booms everywhere. So it is reaching beyond just the Gaza southern range, and it's affecting all of Israel. In fact, all the tour groups that were there, they're not allowed. Nobody's allowed to go out in groups of more than 10. They're restricted to their hotels, and it's a time when everybody is cautious. Now, my friend Amir, of course, is a Palestinian Roman Catholic. It's interesting because you see how confusing things are over there. He's a Palestinian by culture. His family lived in that land called Palestine. We're going to talk about why it's called Palestine in a minute. He's an Arab because that's his mother tongue, Arabic. He is a Roman Catholic and an Israeli citizen. So he is, along with most of the Christian Palestinians, in favor of Israel because Israel brought justice and courts and takes care of the Christians to a great degree. It's the only country there in the Middle East that has a freedom of religion. And when we talk of Palestinians, we really have to segregate, because I say to people kind of in a simple way that there's no such thing as a Palestinian. There are Christian Palestinians and there are Muslim Palestinians, and they're very distinct. The Muslim Palestinians are the ones you see chanting in Sydney, Australia, and now in Dearborn, here in Michigan, and they're for the annihilation of Israel and this kind of thing. And they're the Muslim Palestinians, and then the majority of them go on that side. But then you have the Christian Palestinians who do not participate in jihad. They do not want to do these things. They do not bomb and kill indiscriminately like this. They're peaceful people, and most of them are in favor of Israel and do not want the Palestinian Authority, which is a corrupt, even Father Mitch was talking about how corrupt they were, doesn't want them in charge. The Christians in general are happy under Israel. There's problems, yes. They're treated unfairly in certain situations, yes, but in general, the Christian Palestinians are in favor of Israel as being there, and the Muslim Palestinians are not. So it's helpful for people to make that distinction.
Well, let's talk about the roots of Palestine. Where does that word come from?
Well, the word, when Rome came in and destroyed the temple in 70 AD, they, in the beginning of the second century, they renamed this place. It was originally called Canaan. Abraham came. They came back with Joshua. They took over the land, and it was called Israel. Then it split into two, and Israel was in the north, and Judea was in the south. Then that northern part was taken away, so all that was left was Judea. When Jesus was there, that whole area around Jerusalem was called Judea. And that's where we get the word Jew, and that's where we get the word Judaism. They all come from Judea, that country, and it was from the tribe of Judah. Well, when Rome came in and Israel, the Jews fought against Rome, and they destroyed the temple in 70 AD and then Masada in 72 AD, then Rome changed the name of it to Syria Palestina, and from that point on, it was referred to as Palestine, or the Palestinian areas as we know it, and that word comes from the word Philistine. And if you think about that for a minute, you can see what Rome did. Rome did that to completely denigrate and humiliate and wipe out the memory of Israel and Judea and the Jews, and he named that land after the Philistines. That would be like, say, somebody taking over the United States and renaming it China. So this is, they named it the Philistines to humiliate and to wipe out, in a sense, the memory of the Jews being there. And so from that, that's where the word Palestine comes from. I'm very discriminate when I use that word. And I don't use it. I don't say Jesus was a Palestinian Jew, because that word didn't come to be, the land didn't come to be called that until the second century. So when I hear people say, well, you know, the Palestinian Jesus was a Palestinian Jew or something, I say, well, wait a minute, that wasn't even called Palestine. He was a Judean Jew. And so, but that's where that word came from, and it gives a little bit of context. But, you know, Israel, the state of Israel today, is very small. It's amazing that it makes the news so much, considering all the other countries and the conflicts going on, because Israel's only 8,000 square miles. You can drive across it in a day, easy. It's the size of New Jersey. And there are only, in the whole world, I think people are shocked by this, you know, there's 1.5 billion Christians and 1.5 billion Muslims, roughly, you know. But wait, how many Jews are there in the world today? Well, prior to the Holocaust, the Nazi Holocaust, there were 16 million Jews. Today, because so many were killed, 6 million Jews were killed, even today they have not regained those numbers. And even in the whole world today, there's only 14 million Jews. Roughly half of them live in the United States and half of them live in Israel. So this is a very small number of people, the Jewish people. Only 14 million of them exist in the whole world. And it's, you know, the proportion of news that they get is really quite extraordinary.
Yeah. We're talking with Steve Ray, of course, author, speaker, and convert to Catholicism, and his website is CatholicConvert.com, also an experienced pilgrimage leader with his emphasis on Israel. Well, Steve, we were going back and forth this morning, and I so appreciate all the information you're sharing, but you're getting a sense that this is different than other conflicts in the past.
Right. The number of Jews killed in one day here, there's never been that many Jews killed in a day since the Holocaust. Now, there's been fighting in Israel. There's been fighting, and Jewish soldiers and civilians have been killed, but not in the numbers of like 1,300 in this short time. More than ever in a day since the Holocaust, which shows the magnitude. And also Father Mitch said this, and he's absolutely correct. When you consider the number of people killed, if you put it in the percentage of America, you'd be talking 30 or 40,000 people killed. When you look at your nation and that many people are killed, it's very devastating, and it is a magnitude that haven't seen in Israel in a long time. And Israel then is being very discriminate in their response, because they could, like I said, just go in there and bomb everything, but they're targeting the military areas. But one of the problems that they have is that these Hamas, they will put their headquarters, they will put their soldiers and shoot missiles out of hospitals and schools, so that when Israel responds by targeting where those missiles are coming from, they pinpoint it, boom, they hit that missile site, they blow up a school or a hospital, and then they get accused of blowing up civilian places. But that's the way Hamas operates. So it's really a nefarious enemy that they're fighting, and Israel is really in a precarious situation on how to respond. They can't let this go on forever. They've got to stop it, but like Father Mitch said, they got to stop it properly and carefully. They can't just go in there and act like Hamas. They are acting much more civilized about it, and unfortunately, that makes it go slower, and they have to be more precise.
What have you seen of the media coverage? It's extremely frustrating to me in terms of the secular media, where they refuse to call Hamas terrorists and are calling them militants.
Yeah, that's it is very sad. It's sad indeed. It's like calling an abortionist a freedom liberator, liberating a woman from an unwanted pregnancy. You know, we these things called euphemisms, where we call something else to make it not sound so bad. It's like somebody who commits abortion, you call them choice. That's a euphemism. What they're doing is killing a baby. And to see these people as freedom fighters is not the case at all. They're going out and slaughtering people. Teresa, I've always said that in my summary of this whole situation is this. Israel's not going anywhere. They're a strong military country. They're not going anywhere. Hamas is not going to push them into the Mediterranean Sea. They're there for the long term, and they're determined. Hamas and the Palestinians should learn to live with Israel instead of against Israel. In other words, you have the Palestinians who have labor and they have resources, and you have Israel with money and technology. And if you put those two forces together, you'd have one of the most wealthy parts of the world. The two of those working together could produce unlimited wealth and prosperity for the people, and opportunities for the young people, and education, and all these things going on. But if Hamas and the West Bank as well, if they continue to fight against Israel, they lose all those opportunities. In a way, they hate Israel more than they love their own children, because their kids, what opportunity now in Gaza do those young people have? The families that have young people there, what opportunities do those young people are going to have in the next 20 years because of what's happening now? A job that's in Gaza, if you have the same job across the border in Israel, pays 10 times more. So the people in Gaza, if they were smart, they would learn to live with Israel instead of always fighting against them, because then the borders would open. They would have all kinds of opportunities for their children. They'd be very wealthy area of the country. But unfortunately, they don't think that way, and they're trying to destroy Israel, which they're never going to do anyway.
Well, some of them, I think, do want to remove by Gaza, because they have such control. Hamas has such control. They're not allowing that to happen. Steve, great. Thank you so much for this information. Very helpful. And we look forward to having you back on again very soon. And we'll go to your website and your Facebook page. I'm sure you're going to be writing and blogging a lot about it, CatholicConvert.com. We will be right back. And don't forget, Steve is going to be on Father Mitch's live program on the 1st of November, all about his new book. Great background, by the way. Tons of info on Genesis. We'll be right back on a Thursday to let you know what's coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned.